Heavenly Father, once again, we pray that you will please open your words up that we may have understanding this morning. For Lord, there's a reason why you spoke in parables to those of old. You see, you said that in hearing they may not hear, in seeing they may not see. For unto those whom you have come, you revealed yourself, you give understanding. Lord, without your spirit, your word is this very same thing, just parables to the uninitiated. But by your spirit, Lord, you bring understanding, you bring insight, you bring life. And that is what we pray this morning, O Lord, that we may receive light, we may receive sight, we may receive understanding and life from you. That in the speaking of your word, you may be revealed. Speak to our hearts individually. Help us, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of your laws this morning. Change us from within, O Lord. Change us permanently, Father. We do not just want the temporary fix that people get on Sunday from hearing a good message. Lord, we want the eternal change that makes us righteous and right before you by your meek and engrafted word. This is what we pray for this morning. So Christ, I pray that as you are revealed and as you are exalted, that we will decrease, that you may be Lord over all. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we are going to look at a few things that the Lord Jesus Christ had said, reminding us of certain things that we need to remind each other of. As Christians, we recognize that this world is not our home, even though sometimes we do forget. And like the children of Israel that were taken into captivity in Babylon, they forget that Babylon wasn't home, even though the Lord asked them that for a time they were to make their roots in Babylon, they were to build houses and marry off their children. But ultimately, Babylon still wasn't home. And there was a time when the Lord appointed that they should return to the land and raised up a prophet to begin to prepare the people for the return to the land. In the same way as Christians, this world is not home, because there are growing pains that we all as Christians face each day. There are growing troubles that we all as Christians face each day. Only if you do not have the Spirit of the Lord within you will you think that everything is all right with us in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he left earth, he said that he will come again and he will come to take his own unto him. He said that he was going to prepare a place that where he is, that his children may be also. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, he began to talk about the signs of the end of times, the things that will come to be before he returns. He talked of wars and rumors of wars. He talked about persecution of Christians. He talked about pestilence. He talked about the love of people growing cold. He talked about unweariness in the souls of men. He talked about society itself at large becoming a society of anarchy. And that do we see in our midst more and more today. Every country, you know, as we've said before, has its own ills. In a lot of African countries, we see corruption, which has led to the backwardness of many African nations. We see people who are lovers of themselves, who, in spite of what is happening around them. They're not taking any thought of anybody but themselves, to the detriment of countries, to the detriment of peoples. People dying for small things that shouldn't kill anybody. But because one person, two people, a few people have decided to siphon the money from the resources that God has put there for many to themselves alone, many have become destitute. And we might think that because we're in America, we don't have these ills. Maybe because it hasn't touched us yet, we feel that there are no ills in this society. In the past few months, in the past few, yes, I'll say months to maybe 1 or 2 years within the society, we have seen the rise of racism like we've never seen it before in this country. It's not that it's never been there before. It's always been there. It's been hidden. As we said, every country has its ills. In America today, people are judged by the color of their skin. A few days ago, I was watching a documentary about the Tuskegee Airmen. If you've never watched it before, I would recommend it. It's very, very good historical watching. The Tuskegee Airmen were a group of African men who were the first to be engaged as military aviators, pilots in the American military. Before then, it was said that black people did not have the competence, nor the dexterity, nor the intelligence to fly a plane. They were not competent enough because of who they were as black people to be able to master the controls of a plane. And so, for a long time, they did not allow blacks to become pilots. There was uproar, and the NAACP, they began to shout out that, look, this is not right. They started an experiment just to try to prove in that experiment that, no, black people could not fly. They did everything possible to make that experiment a failure. But instead, those men persevered through severe racism. And eventually, they made many, many records. Gold crosses, silver crosses, bronze crosses. There was an airborne division called the 332nd Airborne Division. They said they never lost a bomber plane in air combat, which there was no other white battalion that was able to do that. In every country, they have their own. So we know that as Christians, this world is not our own. We are going to a place. And as the Lord Jesus Christ talked to his people, he showed them of things to come before he comes. And then towards the end of his message to them, there was a watchword he gave to them, saying, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And that is what I want to remind us of today, because we have been looking at the life of our Lord Jesus, who Jesus is. Because if indeed we are followers of Jesus, we need to heed the things he tells us. Jesus Christ said he's coming again. And many of us as Christians, sometimes we forget this word, that truly he is coming again. And I think it is right from time to time that we remind each other that truly he is coming again. The unbelievers, they would mock, saying that, well, he said he's coming for 2,000 years now. Has he come? No, he hasn't come. But just like one day a baby was born and became the savior of the world, and the world wasn't the same after that event, it's the same way. One day, as we say in Nigeria, one day, one day, one day, the presence of the Lord will appear in the skies, and this world will never be the same again after that event. Now, the question for us as Christians is, are we preparing for that day? Because that really is what we should be reminding each other of. Are we preparing for that day? You know, we have come to places where in our lives where we are relatively comfortable, you know. Some of our children are getting to the stage where we were when we started. At this stage, you know, many of us have reached the pinnacle of our careers. We have homes to live in. We have families. We have things going well. But for those who have that knowledge that this is not all there is to life, there's always a restlessness in the soul that there ought to be more than this life offers. Let's go to the book of Matthew and see a few things that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us there. Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, from verse 1 to around verse 35, he talked about the things that will come, the things that will happen before he returns to the earth. And from verse 36, he talked about watchfulness. And I'll start from Matthew 24, verse 36, and we'll read a few verses there. He said, "But of that day," this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself talking out, "but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And first of all, I took thought of that word, that of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In the foolishness of men, many men have tried to date the time of the coming of the Lord. Many men have tried to date that by this year, by this month, and for ages, ever since the Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven, people have tried to say this is the time they will come back, and every man has failed. And what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, that no man knows, not even the angels, is very presumptuous and very foolish of any man to think that what God hasn't revealed to the angels, you will be able by your own feeble knowledge to detect what time Jesus will come back. But he said it that no man knows, not even the angels in heaven know. And then he said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I went back and read this story of Noah, that what really happened during the time of Noah. At that time, it had not rained for many, many, many years. So people did not know what rain really was because they had never experienced a flood before. Just as we said it, that the time of the coming of the Lord, it's not something that man has ever experienced before. And so shall it be. Just as he came as a baby, which man had never experienced before, the same way the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, just as an event that man has never experienced before. In the time of Noah, God told Noah in the middle of the desert to build an ark. To many people around Noah, it would have been foolishness. Why would you build an ark, something like a big ship, in the middle of a desert where there's no water, where they had never seen rain? And Noah, in obedience to the word of God, did what God asked him to do. He built the ark, and the day came when the Lord asked Noah, his children and their spouses to enter the ark, and they had gathered all the animals providentially as God brought them into the ark, and God himself closed the door of the ark, and then the rain began. And the Bible said that the springs of the earth opened up. Not only was it raining from heaven, all the reservoirs of water in the ground opened up, and the flood began. And for 40 days and 40 nights it rained. I remember many years ago, in the country of my birth, Nigeria, in the town of Ibadan, there was a flood they called Omiyale. Who remember that flood? It was Ogunpa. Okay, it was Ogunpa flood. Ogunpa River. Okay, that's where you are from, right, brother? You, okay. I think it only rained for a few days. But the kind of flooding that happened carried people, carried houses, carried cars. People lost their lives. It was all of a sudden. Nobody knew that such a flood could happen. In the same way, nobody knew at the time of Noah that such a flood could happen. For 40 days and 40 nights, water poured. But by that time, those who saw the ark then knew, wow, this is an instrument or an object that could save me from this flood. And I'm sure some people will have run to that ark to knock the door, but then it was too late. But then it was too late. Because Noah had been telling the people, you know, we learned that later on in the epistles, that Noah had been a preacher of righteousness, preaching to the people, this will happen, a flood is coming. Of course, when you've never seen a flood before, how will you believe that a flood will come? And the same way, every Sunday we speak from here. Repent, give your life to Christ, live right. One day, Jesus will come. And it's the same thing we're reminding each other of again. One day, Jesus will come. One day, Jesus will come. You see, some people have dramatized it in certain productions where, you know, they've sent it all on WhatsApp, on Facebook, on YouTube, where you'll just see in a church, so a preacher preaching, and suddenly people will just disappear. Sometimes when we watch these things, we become inert to it. You know, it's no longer grips us that Christ is coming. You know, it's no different from when the media, when they portray certain ills within society, and we see it over and over again, what happens? We become jaded. We become inert. We are desensitized to it. And when we have seen people disappear long enough, we get desensitized. But my brethren, it should not be so in the life of us Christians. Because Jesus Christ truly is coming again. And everyone, whether dead or alive, would experience that occurrence. I say whether dead or alive, because definitely those who are alive will experience it. And we learn later on in the Bible that those who are dead, they will rise up. Dead in Christ, they will rise up to be with him. And they too, they will experience it. Let's go on. Then shall two, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other left. Says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the householder had known in what watch the thief should come, he would have watched and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Let's go to chapter 25. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 25 from verse 1, talked about a story that many of us know very well, about the 10 virgins, which we have preached many times in this place, about the virgins that had oil in their lamp and the virgins that did not have oil in their lamps. And it's no different from this story of Noah once again. At the time the bridegroom came, or before the bridegroom came, 10 virgins were there. All of the virgins slept. At the time the bridegroom came, and when the announcement was made that the bridegroom had come, they all awoke. Five of them still had oil in their lamps to be able to see around. The other five, they did not have oil in their lamps. And they were contemplating going into the city to buy the oil. Of course, by that time, it was too late. They came back, the door had been closed. And once the door is closed, it's not like, you know, in Nigeria where the door of the airplane is closed and the president or one high official comes and they radio to the pilots, open the door, and pilots will open the door. The door is not like that. Once the door is closed, it's closed. Once the door of the ark was closed, it was closed. Once the bridegroom came and the door was closed, it was closed. When Jesus comes, it's not the time of repentance. When Jesus comes, it's not the time of, Lord, I will be better, I will do this. And therefore, his watchword to us, to remind each other of, once again, is watch and pray. Watch and pray. I say this, brethren, and I think it's an appropriate time because on Friday, when we came to pray at the prayer meeting, one of the things we talked about is that we see that the system of this world is pulling us away from the things that we need to do to be in the faith and to for our faith to be evidenced by. And I confess, I am guilty also. At times when we decide, yes, we want to pray. And this happened to me just a few days ago. I woke up in the morning, I said I was going to pray. Went down to the basement, and there I saw a flooding, the carpets, and the pipes from the ground are beginning to ooze water, the carpet was wet. And I said, why is it that when I decide that I want to meet with God, do these things happen? If I was getting ready to go to a party, I'm sure there would be no flood. It's never happened before. But the day I decided, I just want to spend quality time. Of course, you can't overlook that thing. If you kneel down to pray, your mind will be there. And so, there are many things, legitimate things. We have phones. It helps us to communicate with one another. Help us to communicate with family, to know how we are doing. Help us to get out of emergencies. But it's that same phone that has YouTube, that has WhatsApp, that has Facebook. I don't know where, many of you might not be guilty. But you know, sometimes those things are like crack cocaine. You know when you can't leave your phone? You look at it, you put it down. You look at it again. Has any message come? You type something quickly. Tell me, you remember how you type to your friends? If they haven't replied, you look at it again. We know, because many of us are guilty of it. But these things, they distract us, brethren. We might think that, yes, there were creations, like they call them, disruptive technologies. Yes, they are disruptive technologies because after they are created, the world is never the same. But our Christian work also is never the same. Because if we do not watch, we will be carried away with distractions that are legitimate and that illegitimate. You see, in my study to talk about this thing this morning, something that the Lord showed me was that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that many times when he was going to pray, the Bible says that he will go to the wilderness or he will detach himself from everybody and go to a solitary place. That is what the Bible says many times when he's going to pray. And I asked myself the question, okay, he was in a house. Why couldn't he pray in the house? Abby, he slept in a house, woke up in the house, and he would leave to go to a solitary place. He would leave to go to the wilderness. And what occurred to me, brethren, is that, you see, when you go to the wilderness, do you know what occurs in the wilderness? Do you know what happens in the wilderness? Nothing happens in the wilderness. Nothing. So if you really want to meet with God undistracted, you have to extricate yourself from all the distractions that is around you. I will tell you this, my fellow brothers and sisters. God speaks, but we do not hear God because of the distractions around us. You see, if there's a voice speaking, there's a train honing, and a trailer honing, and a car honing, that voice, you know what happens to the voice? If it's one train honing, you might still hear. But two honing, the voice will just begin to decrease more and more. You will hear less of it. The voice is still speaking at the same volume. But because of all the distractions around you, you will hear less and less and less until you cannot even hear the voice anymore. That is what happens to us. And once we do not hear the voice of God any longer, we begin to go in our strength. We begin to operate in our strength because we don't hear what God is saying to us. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. There are many legitimate distractions, but these distractions will not be excuses of righteousness, of you not being able to attain what the Lord meant for you. It's not that you are not saved, brethren. But beyond salvation, there are many things that God wants to do in you, for you, and through you. You know, the Bible talks about some people that will enter heaven, and all their works will be burnt up, and they will have nothing to show when they enter heaven. It is real. Because the Lord is going to require of us what He has sent us, because everybody has a mission and an assignment. We may not know it. You might have thought that, well, your assignment was to be a chemical engineer. Now you have found your calling to be an advocate for the poor immigrants, those who can't stand against Trump. May the Lord continue to give you strength. You know, many people, you are called to do something. Some of us are called just to raise children unto God. But if we do not hear His voice, we will do everything in our own wisdom. And that is what leads to failure. And even if it doesn't lead to failure, what we do will only be temporary. It cannot have eternal significance nor ramifications. In many churches today, because people do not hear the voice of God any longer, they want to simulate the voice of God. You know, so we will have fog machine. We will have strobe lights like disco. We will have dancing angels. We'll have people, acrobatics and all that. If God doesn't speak, He doesn't speak. You can't force His voice. You can't simulate His voice in any way. And when we begin to do that enough, yes, there'll be temporary people being entertained, but it cannot be eternal. God's work lasts the test of time. Watch and pray. Now, after... So the story of the 10 virgins was just another indication to let us know that no man knows the hour, no man knows the time. After that story, He gave another parable, the parable of the talents. How many of us know this story of the parable of the talents? We know it, so I won't need to go through it again. He gave talents to some of His servants. Some to one, He gave 10, to one, He gave 5, to one, He gave 1. And He said, go and trade with it. When I come back, give me the report of what you have done with it. To the one He gave more than one, they were able to double it. To the one He gave 1, He did not do anything with it. Now, we might think that talent is money. No, talent is not only money. Talent can be money. But talent is what God has given you for you to do something on this earth with in your life. You can either stand before God on that day and say, Lord, I have nothing to show for my life. The talent you gave me, I buried it and I did nothing with it. Or the talent you gave me, I have done something with it and here is the result. Tenny, Ayo. Your life is meant for something. You go to school, you will get an education. An education will give you knowledge, but not wisdom. Only God can give wisdom. And your life, you will find a purpose in life when truly you hold on to God. You know, you guys are starting out, you're going into the second year now. There are many of your colleagues who haven't figured out what they want to do. So they spend the first 60 to 80,000 trying to figure it out. You know, may that not be your portion. Then the Lord Jesus Christ told them, watch and pray. Now, why do we need to watch? We need to watch because, as we already mentioned, we talked about a world system which we're in that distracts us from things legitimate, from things that God has called us onto. But we do not know, or we might not know, that behind everything within that world system is somebody called Satan. Moving, you know how a puppet, there are strings attached to the puppet and how the hands are moved. Satan is the one moving the hand of this world system. Because he himself said that this world, everything has been given unto him and he gives as he wills. He gives as he wills. What do we now watch against? We watch against, because it is not evidence to the common eye. We watch against the things that people might not easily see. If when you wake up, you begin to find things that begin to draw you away from what you want to do before God and with God, there's something else. You might think that a broken pipe is just a broken pipe. Sometimes it's not just a broken pipe. Sometimes it's not just a broken. Every time you want to come to church to preach on Sunday, you see that you always fight with your wife. Your wife is not the enemy. There's something else behind it. You think that the toothpaste that caused the argument was, no, it's not only the toothpaste. There are many, many legitimate things. You will think that, well, it's just a natural course of events. No, those are the things we watch out for. Because there is a person behind this world system that will draw you away from the things of God. And I'm telling you, brethren, no matter how feeble your prayer is before God, it still does something to that enemy. That is why it is better for you to still, if it's 5 minutes you can do it, than not do it at all. Because those 5 minutes might be the 5 minutes that will now break everything that enemy has set for you, so that you will now come into more time to be able to enjoy the presence of God. But if you don't do it at all, you will not have the strength to continue. Watch and pray. The evidence of faith for a Christian is shown in the good works we do. Please hear me well. I'm not saying that we are saved by our works. There's a difference. I'm not saying, because some people will say, hey, you're not saved by works. No, you're not saved by works. You are saved by faith alone. But what is the evidence of faith? Because faith doesn't stand alone without anything being shown. If you are born again, we know you by your fruits. If you say you have faith, what do we know? Or what can we see that will tell us that you have faith? The Bible says it is your good works. Because faith without works, as James says, is dead. And so, what you see in these last days, as when people begin to live for self alone, that is the evidence that there's no faith within them. Because over and over, we read it. In this same book of James, it talks about, if a brother tells you that they don't have any food to eat, and you tell them, bro, God bless you, you know, how we say it in Christian is, it will be well with you. Will that it will be well with you fill their belly? It won't do anything now. A sister says, I'm shivering, no. I don't have a coat. You, in your closet, when I was living in an apartment, my closet, you just open a door just spread it like this, and that's my closet. Now that God has moved me a little bit higher, I not only open a door and go into a room for my closet, and somebody says they have a need, and me, I have a row of coats, and I cannot say, look, take one. I live for myself alone. The evidence of faith within a Christian is for you to be able to live beyond just self. To be able to live outside self for others. Because God has blessed you so that you will be a conduit of blessing to other people. Do you know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because it takes water in and gives nothing out. You go and watch documentary about the Dead Sea. That is one sea you cannot drown in. The salt content is so high that it makes everybody buoyant. If you jump into Dead Sea, you can just lie. If you don't know how to swim, you just be floating. Because it takes all the salt in and gives nothing out. It takes all the water in and gives nothing out. No plants can grow there because the salt content is too high. The Lord has not called us to be a dead sea, but a living sea, a river that is living water flowing for other people to be blessed by. When we begin to watch and we begin to pray, our watching doesn't start from outside. It starts from within us. It starts from within us. That, Lord, what is it about me that is living for self alone? What is it about me that I take no care of anything around me but myself? And I dare say, I will touch on some toes, it starts from selfie. That's where it starts. The more selfies you have, begin to question. I'm stepping on some toes, Abby. But it will get better. We will do well by God's grace. We've got to begin to live beyond ourselves and begin to look for others. The Bible says that we shall go into all the world preaching the gospel, which will start from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Starting in Jerusalem means that you start at home. Do you ever take the time to look into the lives of your brethren around you? How are people doing? Is there anybody with a need? How can I help? Because if it doesn't start at home, for you to say that the Lord has blessed me with extra, let me even take $100 that somebody I don't know today, I will give them. Maybe meet somebody on the grocery line and say, sister, you brother, your groceries, I will pay for it today. Because that should be the mark of a Christian. Where we are like the hands and the feet of Jesus. What people can do, if somebody gives you money, for you to give that person back, it's nothing. If somebody invites you to a party, for you to invite the person back is nothing. But something you know that that person cannot do to you back. Somebody on welfare cannot give you $100 back. But for you to take it and meet that person to saying, I will meet your need today. Or more, not you, but Christ is meeting your need today through me. Because God has blessed me with extra. Can we begin to practice this as a people? Let it start from home. Where we say, Pastor, is there anybody with a need that I can help with? You go out. Is there anybody with a need I can help with? Because the evidence of true Christianity is when there are widows in need, and we help them in time of need. When they are orphans that don't have fathers, that don't have anybody to look up to, and we become fathers unto the orphans, we become mothers unto the orphans. That is true Christianity. That is true religion. That is what the Lord expects of us. We live beyond self. we live beyond just me, my family, and I. If God has blessed you, become a conduit of blessing to others. Start on the inside. Lord, what is it about me that I am not yet hearing you about? Because you see, I will not lie to you, my brethren. When you begin to take time to be solitary with God, and I mean that word, to be solitary, that is to be alone with God. Because that practice, many of us, we have left it behind. And for us to grow, really grow as Christians, we need to come back to it. You know, we used to do it when we were in school. But now we go to work, we are tired in the morning, we just, you know, say a prayer and we are on our way. Well, saying a prayer is better than not saying it at all. But there comes a time when we need to get back to that practice, being alone with God. Being alone with God. Please write it down, if you can remind yourself of it. Because that is one thing the Lord is reminding me of. Being alone with God. Many times we are distracted by everything around us. And God wants us to be alone with Him. That is the only time we can truly know. Because you see, when you meet somebody and say, God is using me, you pick the person. But have you ever experienced it where God tells you to go and meet somebody specifically? Because God still does it, brethren. He still does it. Somebody you don't know, but God will place that person on your mind. Specific person. You might even see it. Go to this place and go and do this. But you will never hear God say that when you are distracted. And that is where God wants to call us to. The Lord Jesus Christ, many times when he will do so, a miracle or do something, he will say, whatever I see my Father doing, I do. He will say, what my Father says unto me, I do. Where has his Father said it unto him? It was when he went into the wilderness. It wasn't when the throngs were all around in time to touch him. And that is the same thing God wants for us, his children. God wants fellowship with us so that we will be more effective in our Christian work. To be alone with him. To come into the place where we watch and pray. And we watch and pray also because we have an adversary called the devil. Peter said he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may do what? Devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Brethren, Satan is not only devouring in stealing our time of being alone with God. Satan devours in health. Satan devours in resources. Satan devours in joy. Satan devours in relationships. There are many things Satan looks for to devour. Because if he can catch you in one way, he will look for other means to catch you. It might be that, oh, this person, the shield of God is around him, around her. I can't get through, but I can touch her business. I can begin to send customers away. I can put myself in people's minds that they will come to make foment trouble in this business place. Satan looks for whom to devour. And we might not know it, but the feeblest of prayer, the prayer that is like the prayer of a child before God, it defeats Satan. It defeats Satan. Because what did God say? Those who will be inheritors of his kingdom, they have to make themselves like little children. How do little children pray? Do you hear little children speaking many words before God? It's a few words, what they know to say, but it's in sincerity. If you can come back to that place, you think you can't pray, try it. Just to be alone with him. God speaks. Says, watch and pray. Now, at the time the Lord Jesus Christ was going to Calvary, the Bible tells us that after the time where they had what we call the Last Supper, you know, where they had communion together with the disciples, the Bible said that they sang, and after the singing, they went into the garden called, Gethsemane, thank you. Into the garden called Gethsemane. And there, the Lord began to be troubled in his spirit. Something happened that the disciples had never seen before. Here was him now being weary in his spirit. The Bible actually says he was depressed in spirit. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and right there within all the disciples, he took three, Peter, James, and John, and he asked them to go with him further in the garden that they might watch with him. He didn't ask them to come and pray with him. He just said that they might watch with him. And as they went further, he asked them, stay here and watch while I go further and pray. And the Bible said that he went further and in agony of soul began to pray. And when he came back to the three he took with him, what were they doing? They were sleeping. You know, there are two things in that sleep. One, truly they might have been tired, but I will not put it past the devil to have made their eyelids so heavy that they could not stay awake. Because there's nothing like when in the time of trouble, having people you trust to stand with you in prayer. But when you have nobody, you know, we've said it many times that when the enemy wants to get you, what does he do to you first? He isolates you. You'll be like a deer running in the park and one deer strays off. Ah, that's meat. He isolates you. But there's power and strength in numbers. Brethren, that is why it is important when we talk about our Friday prayer meetings, corporate prayer, it is important also. It's important that we come together to pray. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, why, you know, couldn't you watch with me for just 1 hour? That's all he said, though. Just 1 hour. When I was in college in those days, I had the strength to go and dance all night. You did it too. You didn't do it? Oh, you are a saint then, right? Don't look away. You did it, I know. But the power is there to dance all night. But when we go for prayer meeting all night, what happens? You know what happens, right? You know, begins the praise and worship. You hear from all angles. Why? But if it was a rave now, nobody will sleep. But to pray, it tells you there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. Even prayer meeting, just to come and pray 2 hours. Still hear sometimes. But then, let us be aware, because this is what we remind each other of, that we have an adversary. It is only from the Lord that we can receive strength. And we ought to be cognizant of these things. The Lord Jesus Christ said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watching and praying also makes us alert that we watch over our lives. We watch over our faith. We watch over not only ourselves, but all those around us. We watch and pray for others. We watch and pray for ourselves. So that not only will we not be prey to the devil, but when the Lord comes, we will not be unprepared for his coming. When the Lord came, and those servants that rightly used their talents came before him, do you think they will have been afraid or weary to come before his presence? No, they wouldn't have, because they were obedient to what he told them to do. They were the ones that were watching and praying, because what he told them to do, they did, and they were able to show result for it. And I'm not saying it's the result that saves us. No, it's not the result that saves us. But we have been saved unto something. We have not been saved just to say, okay, you are saved and that's all. No, we are saved unto something. We are saved unto being a part of the work to building the kingdom of God. We are saved unto showing good works before our Father. We are saved unto being people who in wisdom speak to other people that they might come to the knowledge of Christ. We are saved unto being part of the army that will pray people into the kingdom, that will stay the hand of the devourer. I say to you, brethren, if there's any problem in the country of Nigeria where Christians are being sacrificed and killed, it's because Christians haven't risen up yet. It's because the Christians are still sleeping. It's because the Christians are still being entertained. When Christians rise up to pray, who is Boko Haram? Who is Maitaisine? Who can stand when Christians truly rise up in anger to seek the face of the Lord? No. There's nobody that can stand when Christians really ready themselves and pay the price before the presence of God. Seek the face of God in truth. Nobody will stand. No enemy will stand. But the enemy will advance, because the people who are supposed to be watching, what are they doing? They are sleeping. Lastly, I read something about, you know, the time when the American guards or American soldiers were in Vietnam. When any soldier was put on guard, that soldier was on guard not only for his life. Because if the soldier on guard slept, the whole battalion will be ravaged. Because once the enemy enters, believe me, all those the soldiers are guarding, they are gone. So the soldiers needed to be awake for their own lives and for the lives of those they were guarding. Brethren, it's the same for us. We might think that who are we guarding? You have families that you are guarding who are not born again yet. You have children that God has made you guard and guardian of that are not born again yet. You have parents that you might be guarding, that God is still preserving their lives before they go, that you need to be interceding for. You might have a flock or a congregation that God has put you guard over, that you are supposed to be watching over. Everybody, every Christian is a watchman in one way or the other. But if you do not separate yourself and come and be in God's presence, you will never know what God is saying or what God needs from you. So, in closing, brethren, I'll just say unto us, let us watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. We might not hear this many times, but believe me, Jesus is coming again. The time, the hour, no man knows. Angels don't know. But the Bible says that as a thief in the night, you never see, sometimes, you know, maybe you hear a thief breaking your glass, but thieves that burgle, when they are really good, you never hear anything. They will leave, they will come, they will leave, and you will only know that you've been burgled. You will not hear anything. Like a thief in the night, so will he come. When no man is expecting it, when no man thinks that he will come, then will we come. May we as Christians not be caught unawares in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you as you teach us, and by grace you preserve us. As you are the one who watches over us as the great shepherd, Lord, we pray that these things that you remind us of, that we may live it, O Lord. I am reminded that I need to separate myself unto you, to seek your face, to be alone with you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, because as Christians, we need to hear from you. We need to see you. We need you to lead us. As we allow many distractions, your voice can only grow dimmer. And we pray, help us to be able to see the distractions in our lives. And as you reveal it to us, Lord, please help us to lay it aside for a time, just so that we might hear you, just so that we might build our strength in waiting on you. Jesus, you said you will come back again. May we be ever reminded of this. Put it at the foremost of our hearts. Because whether you come at the hour no man knows, or death comes at the hour no man knows, still we will all be caught unawares. And we pray, Father, that we will not be ashamed of that day when we stand before you. For everyone would live eternally, whether with you or apart from you, everyone will live eternally. We just pray that as you have made us to come into your kingdom to be saved of you, Lord, that the enemy will not steal our joy. The enemy will not steal our salvation. The enemy will not steal what is our birthright in you, Lord, we pray. So help us. Help us by your strength to daily watch and pray, that we might not be food to Satan. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.